Pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, we are continuing our sermon series that we began 2 weeks ago, and we've titled it Neighboring God's Way. And really, the big question or the big idea for us is this: how can we as the church seek to show hospitality and love our neighbors in a Christ-like manner? What does biblical hospitality look like in 2018? Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, and we tried to answer the question, who is my neighbor? And here's how we defined a neighbor. You'll see this definition on the screens. Whoever happens to be nearby, excuse me, or close at hand. And Martin Luther says this. This is from the Lutheran Study Bible. He says, our neighbor is any human being, especially one who needs our help. Even one who has done me some sort of injury or harm does not stop being my neighbor. And really, my encouragement for us throughout this whole series, my hope is that we would begin to ask the question, am I being a good neighbor? Not just towards those whom I know, like, and get along with, but also towards those whom I don't know, maybe those whom I don't really like. As new people enter our church here at Hope on Sundays or throughout the week, are we going out of the way to be a good neighbor to them? Or do we see them as an inconvenience? And most importantly, I pray that our attitudes would be one of, Jesus, we need your help. We need your mercy, your love, your compassion to flow through us as we seek to engage with and love our neighbors, because this is not an easy thing that he calls us to. And now our text for today is Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. And again, we're talking about bearing one another's burdens. And the question I want to put before us as we look at our text this morning is this. As I seek to reach out to my neighbors, am I a burden bearer, a sharer, or creator? Are you a burden bearer? Are you a sharer or creator? Several years ago, it was probably about 7 years ago now, my father-in-law and I, we remodeled the basement in the townhome where my family and I were living, and we had just one kid at the time, but we knew a few more were going to come down the road, and so we thought, we need a family room, all that, so we put in a new carpet, and we put an area for the kids, and also a study area, and part of it was designed to be a little bit of a man cave for me, just a place to get away and watch some sports and do some of my seminary studies, all of that. And so as soon as the remodel was finished, I thought, I need a new television for the downstairs basement so I can have friends over, we can watch some sports. Now, I didn't want to spend a lot of money because we'd spent quite a bit on the remodel and the budget was tight. And so I go online to Craigslist and I find one of these old tube televisions. It was a 32-inch, remember those? Just massive tube television. And I thought, this is perfect. Not the greatest picture quality, but it's sturdy, it's reliable. If the kids throw something at it, it's not going to shatter. And the price was right. It was $30. I thought, perfect. So I contact the owner, we meet. Now, as we're putting this massive television in the back of my SUV, I remember thinking, this thing's pretty heavy. How am I going to get this downstairs into the basement? But I'll figure it out. And I actually went online, and I looked, and these things weigh anywhere between 110 to 140 pounds. This one had to have been close to 130. It was that heavy. And so we get home, we park in the garage. It was a Saturday. Vikings are playing on Sunday. I think, man, I need this new television in my basement for Sunday's game. Now, Amy was pregnant with our second, Jeremy, so I'm like, she can't help me carry it. I didn't have a dolly, no friends around, so I thought, I got this. I'm young, I'm strong, I can carry a 130-pound television down the stairs by myself. Not a good idea. It took me literally 45 minutes. I still don't know how I got it out of the back of my SUV and down into the ground without hurting myself. And then I just inched it across the garage, I inched it across the backyard, and I got into the house and I thought, this is ridiculous. I can't carry this down the stairs by myself. It's either going to go crashing down or I'm really going to hurt myself. So I was wise. I waited until some friends came over. And together we got the television into its rightful place. But we all have burdens, don't we? And we carry them from time to time. Some are big, some are small, and sometimes we need someone to come alongside and help carry that burden for us. And I want us to look at Galatians 6 this morning, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to walk through this verse by verse. Now, Galatians is a book that is all about the gospel. And it's important that we understand that. I came across a great summary of the gospel message that we find in Galatians. And for those of us who are in Christ, For those of us who have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, here is our reality. Now, don't miss this, because if you do, Galatians 6 becomes all about the law. It becomes all about obligation. Right, so here's our reality for you and me if we are in Christ. You'll see it on the screens. My identity is found in Jesus Christ. My hope is found in Jesus Christ. My righteousness is found in Jesus Christ. My reason for following him, listen to this, is motivated by love, not motivated by fear. If you remember the lawyer from the story of the Good Samaritan, the reason why he was following the law, the reason why he was loving his neighbor, it was out of obligation. It was out of fear. And Jesus says, no, no, no. You got it all wrong. And this comes from understanding that I am loved, I'm delighted in, and I am ransomed by the God of the universe. And we have to remember that that is our motivation for loving our neighbors, for bearing one another's burden. So this isn't about obligation. This isn't about fear. Oh, God's going to chastise me if I don't do this. No, it's because of what Christ has done for me that I seek to bear others' burdens, that I seek to love my neighbors. Now, because of the gospel, because of what Christ has done, because my identity is in Christ, God calls us to be in community with one another in a real beautiful, spectacular kind of way. And we see that here in Galatians 6. So let's look at our text for this morning. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. I'm actually going to pick it up in verse 2. Verse 1 is a whole sermon in itself, and I really wanted to dive into it. But the more I dove into it, I'm like, man, we're going to be here for like 45 minutes over the time limit. So we're going to skip over that, but it talks about coming alongside those who are overcome, those who are overtaken by sin, and how as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to gently restore them. So let's look at verse 2. Now remember, the question I put before us as we read these verses is to think about, am I a burden bearer, a sharer, or creator? Let's look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So as a community of believers that have experienced the love, the mercy, and compassion of Christ towards us, we are called to bear one another's burdens. Now that word burden, it means weight or hardship. And it's a pretty ambiguous term. It could mean anything from the smallest of problems to the biggest of problems. Your burden could be financial. It could be a health issue. It could be an emotional issue. It could be a sin struggle. It could be, oh, you're a single mom. How can we help you? How can we serve you? It could be, oh, you're sick. How can we help you? How can we serve you? And Paul admonishes us. He says, bear one another's burdens or hardships. And here's what he means by bearing burdens. And I believe I put this in your sermon notes. But it's not in the sense of to tolerate or to put up with, but rather in the sense of doing something that may be inconvenient and that may involve some effort. Job's friends, at least at the beginning of the story of Job, they're a great example of that, right? They just went beside him, sat and wept, and they like went into the trenches with him. And so that's what it means to bear burdens, to actually come alongside, help carry, help alleviate the burden. And that's easier said than done, is it not? Some burdens are easy to bear, and we don't carry them very long. Other burdens, they go on and on and on and on and on and on, and we can help carry them for a long time. Yet the scripture says, bear one another's burdens. And if you do that, you fulfill the law of Christ. And as followers of Christ, we need to remember that Jesus was the ultimate burden bearer. I love 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Why? So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Galatians 3:13 says this, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And I love what one commentary said. It said this, the one who became a curse for us now empowers us by his Spirit to live for the benefit and welfare of others. So as we bear one another's burdens, we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We are loving one another as Jesus commanded in John 15:12. So what does a community look like that has been rooted in, that has been transformed by the gospel? They are willing at the drop of a hat to bear and to carry one another's burdens. And I just want to say, as one of the pastors here, I believe we do this well with one another. I believe we understand the importance of this as a congregation. I have seen it time and time again. My family and I have experienced it over the years here. Just 3 weeks ago, my wife, Amy, she fell and she broke her foot. It was the Thursday of Holy Week, just a bad timing, being Easter week and all of that. And we have three young kids, and so life doesn't stop with three young kids, and I'm trying to help her rest. And so life the last 3 weeks has been just a little bit stressful for us, right? Yet so many people have come alongside us. They've helped cook meals for us. They've gone grocery shopping for us. They've volunteered to watch our kids, and it's been just great because so many have helped alleviate that burden. And we're not the only ones. I'm sure people could tell story after story here of how when they were going through difficult times, God's people here at Hope came alongside them and helped carry that burden. Thank you for that. Do we do it perfectly? No, probably not. I mean, we're human. We're not going to get it perfectly, but I believe, and it's one of the marks of who we are as a congregation. Now, the question I put before us at the beginning of this message was this. As I seek to reach out to my neighbors, am I a burden bearer, a sharer, or creator? Bearer, here's what I mean by that. You come alongside those who have hardships and difficulties to encourage and to give a hand. Here's what I mean by sharer. Do you let others know when you have a burden that you need help carrying? Are you willing to share the hardships and difficulties you are going through? Or is your attitude one of, I got this. By golly, I can figure this out. I can keep carrying this burden, this weight. I don't need anyone's help. I think some of us, we're drowning under the weight, under the difficulty of the burden. And for whatever reason, pride, I don't know what it is, we're unwilling to share it with someone else. And it's like we're trying to carry that 130-pound television down the stairs. And listen, if you do that, the end result, is it going to be very pretty? So for some of you this morning, might God be saying, yeah, it's time to let go of some of that pride. It's time to share that burden with someone. It doesn't have to be everyone. Someone you know, someone you trust. Listen, we are called to this as the body of Christ. We're called to carry one another's burdens. But if you don't share it, then we can't bear it. And so, yes, we are called to be burden bearers. We need to be sharers. Now, we don't want to be burden creators, all right? That's what we want to avoid. Let's look at verses 3 through 5 here in Galatians 6. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Now, again, there's a lot in here. I don't have time to cover all of it, so I'm going to primarily focus on verse 3. And if I could summarize this section of the text, it would be this. We must root out pride, or we must beware of pride. Again, verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, what is that? That's pride. And pride can very easily get in the way of us becoming burden bearers. Pride can also be a burden creator because pride keeps us from noticing the burdens others have because it keeps us focused on ourselves. And pride can make us believe that we are better than others, and so why would I bother to serve others if they are lesser than me? Others should be helping me. They should be serving me. I'm not going to serve them. I love this quote from the Concordia commentary on this text. It says this, our opinion of others shapes our conduct towards others. Those thinking they have fewer faults than others tend not to sympathize with others' shortcomings. Guilty, right? Anyone else? Yeah. Now, there were probably those within the Galatian church who viewed themselves as being above mutual burden bearing. They thought they were too good or too important to stoop to the level of helping others. And so pride, selfishness, which is a form of pride, it keeps us from having a servant attitude or a servant lifestyle because pride puts me at the center instead of Christ at the center. It elevates me above others, and it doesn't allow me to see the needs others have. So pride makes me a burden creator rather than a burden bearer. Let's just think of this in the context of a marriage relationship. For those of us who are married here, how many times have we allowed pride, selfishness, to get in the way of loving, of caring, of serving for our spouse as God calls us to? Well, yeah, it's really kind of about me, honey, isn't it? My wants, my desires, my needs. Maybe if you do that, then I'll do this. And how many of us have become a burden to our spouse because of the me attitude that is so prevalent in culture today? How about with our families? Those of you who have children, parents, are we burden bearers for our kids or are we burden creators? I think of the crazy schedule so many of us have nowadays, from this thing to that thing, this activity, that. But I think some of the go has really become a burden to some of our families. Have we asked our kids, do you really want to be involved in all these things? Is having them involved in all these activities, is it really about them having a good time, growing, learning, or is it about them excelling? Because the better they excel, the better I look as a parent. That's pride, isn't it? Selfishness. Parents, we are called to be burden bearers, not burden creators for our children. And this is true in our friendships. This is true for us as the body of Christ. Are we burden bearers or have we become burden creators? Again, pride, selfishness, it becomes a burden creator and it keeps us from becoming the burden bearers that God calls us to be. So Paul then says in verse 4, we got to do some self-examination. We got to look at our own heart. And not compare ourselves to others, right? Not compare ourselves to that neighbor. Oh, man, he's a horrible husband. He's a terrible dad. Look at all the burdens he's causing his family. I look pretty good next to him. Paul says, no, don't compare. Rather, allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in your own heart, in your own life, and to begin to deal with some of that pride, to begin to deal with some of that selfishness. So we want to be burden bearers. We don't want to be burden creators. Let's continue with our text this morning. Verse 6. It's my favorite verse in this whole section of scripture here. It says this, let the one who is taught the word, that's you guys, share all good things with the one who teaches. Today, that is me. So ushers, I'd like you to come forward right now. We're going to collect a second offering for Pastor Ben. No. Kidding. Totally kidding. We're not going to do that this morning. That's not the point of this verse. But it's just a reminder to encourage, to come alongside, to help bear the burden of those who teach, of those who pastor, of the staff here at Hope Church. I remember when I entered into pastoral ministry about 8 years ago, a mentor of mine, his name was Mark Herringshaw, he sat me down and we went out for coffee and he said, Ben, if you want to enter into this, make sure you're called. Because he said, it is some of the most difficult, it is some of the most lonely ministry you will ever experience. And looking back on the last 8 years, he was right. And I know for other pastors in here, Pastor Gene, Pastor Mostrie, others, you know what I mean by that. There's just burdens we carry as pastors that sometimes it's hard to explain. It's hard to describe. So my encouragement to you as a congregation, be burden bearers for the staff, for the pastors. Not burden creators. Let's look at verse 7 and 8 here. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, actions have consequences. We know that. And as followers of Christ who are called to bear the burdens of others, we must be under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and not allow our own flesh or our own actions to dictate whether or not we should extend a helping hand to others. So we want the Holy Spirit, not our flesh, to guide us as we seek to carry others' burdens. All right, let's wrap up this text here, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes bearing one another's burdens, it can be difficult. And I would bet that there is someone in your life right now whom you feel they walk in a bit of entitlement, a bit of ingratitude and thanklessness. And you've tried and tried and tried to serve them. You've tried to encourage them. You've tried to bear that burden for them. But the more you help, the more you pay out, the more they demand. And it is exhausting, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes seeking to bear the burdens of others can be exhausting. Yet Paul says here in verse 9, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary, he says. And so I believe he is reminding us of our motivation for doing good. And here is why we don't grow weary in doing good to people who are thankless and ungrateful and who walk in a sense of entitlement. It's because when we were thankless, when we were ungrateful, when we were entitled, what did God do? He extended grace to us. God did to us what we, or God did good to us when we did not deserve good. He sent Jesus to die in our place. Jesus bore our burdens for us when we were not worthy of having those burdens being bored. So we don't do good for us, so that others might praise us or so that they might return the favor. No. Our motivation for doing good to others is because God has been good to us in Christ, even when we weren't worthy of that good. And this brings us back to how we ended last week. I love this verse from 1 John 4:19. It says this, we love because God first loved us. And so we need to remember that our motivation, our capacity to love, to reach out to others, to carry others' burdens, it must be rooted in. This is why I began with this. It must flow out of the love, the mercy, the compassion, the goodness we have received in Christ. Because apart from him and his grace at work in our lives, we can do nothing. Nothing, Scripture tells us. So how, why do we not grow weary in doing good? It's by allowing God through his Spirit to empower us and to fill us with his grace, his mercy, his compassion, so that we can do good and help bear the burdens of those around us. And this should be a privilege for us, church. Because of what Christ has done, we are privileged to extend love to one another in this kind of way. We are privileged to experience this kind of beautiful community, one of bearing each other's burdens as God calls us to. So I pray that we would see the privilege that this is, that God has called us to. All right, so as we land the plane here, here's my last question, one more time. So we've read through this text. As you think about it, are you a burden bearer? Are you a sharer? Or are you a creator? What's God revealing to you this morning? Maybe some of you here, you realize, no, I need to be a better burden bearer. Is there someone in your life, maybe in your neighborhood, the place where you work, and they're just walking through some difficulties right now, and God is saying, yeah, come alongside them. Be a burden bearer for them. Others of you, perhaps you're here and you're just drowning under the weight of that 130-pound television, and maybe God is saying, just set it down. You can't carry this on your own. One, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. But we also need one another's help. We need someone to come alongside and bear that burden. If that is you this morning, I want to encourage you, just share it. Again, it doesn't have to be everyone, but someone you know, someone you trust, maybe someone in your small group, a pastor, a mentor. Again, this is a privilege for us. We are called to bear one another's burdens, but you got to share it before we can bear it. And then maybe there are some of you here and the Holy Spirit's been speaking. I know I was convicted of this. I talked about it with my wife last night. Maybe he's saying, yeah, you've been a little bit too much of a burden creator. And maybe we need to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal that pride, that selfishness in our own hearts. Imagine what would happen if this week, again, for those of us who are married, if we sat down with our spouse. Maybe don't do it late at night when you're tired and exhausted, you know, worn out from the day, but you found a time just to sit down and you said, am I more of a burden bearer or a creator for you? What healing might God be able to bring in that relationship? Imagine if we did this with our families, with our kids. If we sat down and we started asking, how can we be burden bearers, not creators for one another? What if we did this within our small groups, our friendships, as a community? If we really began to ask, are we burden bearers or creators? How do we become better burden bearers for each other? What might God begin to do within us as his people? Are you a burden bearer, a sharer, or creator? As we come to prayer this morning, I want to end with this verse, just one that I've held on to for many years, and it really reminds us of where our hope lies as we seek to be the burden bearers that Christ calls us to. So it's Psalm 55, verse 22. This is worth marking, worth coming back to. But listen to this. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will what? Sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And we need to remember that Jesus is our ultimate burden bearer. And yes, we are called to bear the burdens of one another, but we are also called to cast our burden onto the Lord, because ultimately he and he alone is the only one who can sustain us. So maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've been carrying a lot of burdens for other people, and you're just exhausted, and you think, man, I can't do it anymore. No, you can't. You can't. Cast that burden onto the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, to empower you, so that you can be the burden bearer he calls you to be. Christ is walking with us as we seek to do this with one another. Maybe you're here, maybe you've shared your burden with someone in the past, and they haven't come through for you. They haven't helped you in the ways that you hoped they would, or in the ways that you need them to. And if that's your experience, I'm sorry about that. Again, we don't do this perfectly as the body of Christ, but we need to remember that we have a Savior. We have a friend. We have a Redeemer who understands pain, who understands hardship better than anyone else does. And he says, I am with you. He says, cast your burden. Give your burden to me. I will sustain you. Give that burden to me, and I will give you rest. Rest for your weary soul. That is a promise for you and me from Scripture. So I pray that as we go into this week, as we seek to be burden bearers, that we would ultimately cast those burdens onto the Lord, the one who sustains us. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Spirit that is here this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us. Allow us to see your grace, your compassion. Father, I just sense that there are some in here who've been carrying a lot of burdens. They've been carrying that 130-pound television, but it's not their burdens, it's the burdens of others. Father, I pray that this morning they could just cast those burdens onto you. Father, that you, through your Spirit, would fill them, would empower them, would help them rest. Father, for those of us who maybe have become a little too much of a burden creator, we're all guilty in this, would you help us? Would you reveal areas of pride, areas of selfishness? God, we can't do this on our own. We need your help. Thank you that it is your kindness, Father, that leads us to repentance. So may we rest in your kindness, in your goodness, in your grace this morning. Father, help us to be the burden bearers you've called us to be. And we look to you as our source of strength, as our source of hope, as our source of joy. I pray this in your beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.